What's going on, guys?
Jeez, don't scare me like that.
Jump scare.
We're back.
This is episode three
in season two.
This is recorded immediately after the last one. So
feels good. We didn't have a pee break, but we had a mentally.
We meditated.
Mental pee break.
We meditated.
Speaking of meditating, dude, I took a hot yoga class in LA. And it was probably one of the worst things I've ever done in my entire life.
Hot yoga. What does that even mean?
So, you know how you can do yoga?
Yeah.
Okay, and you know how you have saunas?
Oh my gosh.
Well, you take them both and you put them together into one thing and you got hot yoga.
That sounds horrible.
It's like you're swimming in your own sweat the entire time.
I think there are like workout places like that too, like workout classes. Like
yeah, I think it's workout, like hot
cycling.
Pilates or something.
Dude, that sounds horrible. I would never do that to myself.
I figured, you know, while in Rome, you know, we're in LA and that sounded
like. How much does that cost?
It was free because Luke White's aunt works there.
Okay.
So, you know, we got a little. Dude,
I wish you would have recorded some GoPro footage of that.
Man, actually, no, that'd be kind of weird, don't you think?
That'd be funny to watch. I just want to see Luke White doing yoga.
So, anyway.
So, episode three.
Speaking of hot. How about them
boosters? Speaking of hot and peaks in the audio, what rocket? I don't know what you're talking about.
Dude, freaking Eagle Light.
That was
a horrible
joke.
Got him.
So, if you live on the other side of Mesopotamia and you didn't hear about
what?
The rocket launch this last, what? How, when was that?
It
last
was like
week?
Last week.
Last week. A freaking rocket launched.
Falcon Heavy, dude.
A freaking big boy rocket.
Contrary to popular belief, it was not called Eagle Light.
Eagle Light.
That
sounds like
a really
beer.
Cheap beer. Yeah, I was just
about
to say the same
just
thing.
Just thinking. Same
on
way.
The same brainwave, dude. Same audio wave.
So, that was a pretty cool thing that happened in my lifetime, right?
Did you see the videos of the boosters coming back down?
Yeah, dude.
And freaking, it looks like a movie. It doesn't even look real.
It looks fake. I don't even know if I believe it's real still.
Elon Musk is a nut.
I feel like I wouldn't be able to comprehend / understand that unless I saw it with my own eyes still.
Yeah.
Like, it still doesn't really, you know.
I can't comprehend
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it doesn't, like, click with me.
Like, those boosters, okay.
Landed.
Went up in space. Detached.
Flew back.
Fell back into the earth.
Fell back and landed by themselves.
All by themselves in the same exact, or like in the.
On a long landing pad.
That was what?
That
the
was,
size of a helicopter pad
yeah.
or something like that?
Right next to each other and in sync too. You
it's
know,
the
at the same time.
Dumbest thing. And the right side up.
True. Dude, also the Super Bowl happened.
Hey, yeah. The Eagles. Eagle Light. Huh.
Yeah.
Huh. They won.
They did
Spoiler
win.
Spoiler alert. Sorry if you're
If you're living on the other side of
Mesopotamia. I don't get that. I don't
dude,
get
I'm
that
just
that
trying
at all.
To create, you know, like t-shirt things that we can write on our t-shirts.
Dude, okay, if there's anything I've learned from my
ventures,
my content ventures, it's to just don't monetize
just chill
until
out, chill out on the t-shirts a little bit.
Until you've got like
something.
A year or two under your belt.
Yep. So, you know, I'm thinking season two is the time where we make t-shirts.
No, absolutely not. I will refuse to make t-shirts.
I'm going to make some t-shirts in my bedroom.
Although,
my dorm room.
Today we tried t-shirts. They're pretty dope.
Yep.
Luke's wearing one right now.
Anyway, so yeah, the Eagles won. There was a halftime show. That happened.
I heard it wasn't the best.
Did you not watch it?
I watched it.
Dude, how
I watched it on TV, but I'm saying like from at the stadium.
Oh. Well,
did you see that video?
I thought it was good. Oh, the kid?
No.
The meme that sprouted from the Super Bowl?
Meme review. Dude. No, not that was a PewDiePie reference if you guys
you
didn't get that.
Peek my audio and screw me up with your
Holy,
claps.
Holy, look at that.
Anyway, I need to stop talking about audio. I've done that like 5 times.
You're breaking the fourth wall, dude.
I'm pretty freaking crazy
about
it.
You're breaking the podcast fourth wall.
What video are you talking about?
The one of the lady videotaping everyone in the stadium while the halftime show was going on. It was like everyone sitting down was super, super quiet and it was really weird.
That's weird.
Yeah.
No, I just saw like that kid that didn't know who Justin Timberlake was or his music and the guy in the background holding two cell phones recording him at the same time. That's what I saw.
Oh, man, dude. If you're... I just said, oh, man, dude.
Oh, man, dude.
Oh, man, dude.
There's another T-shirt.
Oh, man.
We got three... We got,
oh, man, Rick.
We got the Like Falcon Heavy. We got the Other Side of Mesopotamia. And we got the Oh, man, dude. That can be on a hat.
It's all coming together.
We're going to be partnering with your clothing
with
company.
Above, dude. Another plug. If you haven't checked out Above, go to BEABVE.com and you can get 15% off your entire order using the code podcast.
It's our first sponsor on the podcast.
It's the first one. It's the second one.
Second one.
Our parents.
We haven't thanked them in season two probably yet.
Yeah, but.
We'll save that for the end.
Maybe.
For filler space if we need it.
While we're talking about it, if you guys are coming back from last episode, it'd be awesome if you guys can subscribe. It would really help us out get to that new and noteworthy section still, believe it or not, of the podcasts on Apple Podcasts.
If you've listened to these two episodes back to back, you would have heard us say that twice in the past 10 minutes, so that's a thing.
Yeah, but I heard it's better to say it at the beginning.
Okay, you're right. Probably. I mean, at least in my experience, when I listen to podcasts, I just click out when they're done with the content.
Right,
so
exactly.
That makes sense.
So
we should switch that up. Maybe maybe we'll explode.
Maybe
we'll
that's
just,
why.
That's man.
That's the key.
Yeah, Jansen's freaking screaming in this library down here in the basement.
I was just getting so hype. I've had two monsters. I'm going nuts.
Yeah, you have. So yeah. Also, other related athletic events currently occurring. In the weirdest freaking English I can muster.
Pyeongchang. That was for you, Grant.
Pyeongchang. All right, we're going to stop. Jansen wouldn't do accents last episode, and now all of a sudden he's bursting into his Korean accent. Or that's probably Chinese.
Not, it's definitely not.
That's
Chinese. I don't think... No, I think that's just stupid American.
Yeah, being offensive like you were trying to avoid last episode. Now you're suddenly okay with it.
You know, but it's something that I've already done, so I feel kind of better about it.
Yeah. Anyway.
Olympics.
The Olympics. That's kind of crazy, right?
Did you see that fall today? There's a...
Of who?
I don't even know.
Doing what?
Let me explain. Okay, stop
please,
asking
I'm
going to
ask
questions.
All your questions.
It was the ski long jumpers. Like, what the heck is that event called?
Where like the fly boys?
They literally, like, fly.
Okay, the fly boys?
Like, flying squirrels.
Dude, that sounds dangerous.
Yeah, somebody just wrecked it.
Like, on their landing? Or
yeah,
what?
Yeah. Ugh. It was real bad.
That seems like you could be injured easily in that
one. I think
there's,
like, a crosswind or something.
Yeah, I remember watching a couple of days ago, and it was too windy for them to jump, so that makes sense. But I feel like the Olympic Games, the winter ones, seem so dangerous, like, compared to their counterpart.
The summer ones?
Summer ones are like, you know, it's fine.
I feel like the winter games are more export. Is that right?
Export media?
X games. Goodness gracious. X games like.
Uh-huh. Why?
Because, I mean, X games, snowboarding, BMX, you know, all that kind of stuff, the extreme sports, whereas, like, snowboard, you got snowboarding, you got skiing, you got.
I just feel like the potential to injure yourself is, like, at least twice as high in the winter games compared to summer games.
I agree. I think I like the. I mean, you got freaking the bobsledding.
Yeah.
That's so dangerous.
Bobsledding / luge. That's dangerous. Freaking jump boy down the ski
fly
jump.
Fly boys. You got people doing twisty twist with
snowboards. And downhill skiing.
You got that one slalom skiing where people's knees look like they're about to go through their freaking
moguls,
hips.
Moguls. That's moguls. But I was watching downhill skiing earlier, and it's like you're going like literally 63 miles an hour, they show.
63 to be exact.
63, and you're going around tight turns, and you're on the edges of your skis, and right after right before a turn, there's a little bit of a jump, so you get like maybe 3 seconds of airtime, and then right when you land, you've got a hard turn the other direction. It's like, oh my gosh, you have to like land and turn, and I just feel like every single Olympic winter event is so much more dangerous.
All right, let's name off some summer Olympic games that are dangerous.
What's the most dangerous summer event that you can think of?
The only summer games thing that I can think of is basketball and gymnastics.
Yeah, so I thought of gymnastics. There's some pretty scary stuff.
Swimming's not dangerous
at all. They've got all those pads lying around for gymnastics.
Yeah, but if you land on it, no matter how poofy the pad is,
land
if you
on
land
neck,
on it
I guess.
Wrong, you're going to die or hurt yourself.
I also thought of, like, pole vaulting. Is that a thing?
Yeah, pole vaulting's a thing.
What was the other thing I thought of?
I pole vaulted in high school. Did you know that?
No.
My senior year.
There's probably a reason I didn't know that.
It's the funnest thing I've ever done. I didn't even talk to you in high school. Well, I did, but...
I'm trying to think of more Olympic events, and you're just trying to drag me down this freaking
tangent.
I'm
just trying to figure out, you know...
this dynamic. We're just, you know, having a heart-to-heart here in the brown box.
The brown turd box.
Jeez.
What other Summer Olympic Games are there? There's swimming, there's track and field, gymnastics, basketball.
There's, like, the, like, what are they called? Not triathlon? That's a thing?
Triathlon.
That's what it's called, right? Yeah, that's got to be what it's called. That's definitely an event. They do the swim, they do the run, they do the bike. In that order.
That is what a triathlon is.
Swim, bike, run.
Yeah.
Swim, bike, run. That's a hard thing to do.
Have you ever done a triathlon before?
When I was a kid.
Yeah, I've never done a triathlon.
And it wasn't really a real thing, but I did do one, at least, I remember.
Was it at the point where you're like, this is fun?
No. I remember doing the running portion, and I was like, this is horrible. This is absolutely horrible.
How old were you?
I don't know, but I remember we had to run 1 mile at the end. And so that was like the extent of the triathlon. However, the rest of the events scale. I think biking was maybe like 3 miles, 4 miles, maybe five.
And swimming was probably like...
swimming was literally like 2 laps like in a pool.
Like a 50?
I don't know.
50 yards.
It might have even been just 1 lap down the pool and then get out, honestly.
What a triathlon.
So
it's the kid's equivalent of an Ironman.
What are you going to do? Have a kid jump into the freaking lake and swim to the other side?
Yes.
No. Just have him jump in, swim down in the pool. And then it just bothered me because I was like, oh my gosh, I'm all wet and I got to ride my bike. I just couldn't deal with that.
Yeah, I feel you.
But, you know, that's what they have to do.
I've never done that before, but I really wish I could think of more Summer Olympic Games.
Well, it's funny because, you know, at least in the United States, it's like our coverage is just, oh my gosh, it's horrible. I don't know if you...
NBC, man.
I don't know if you hate it as much as me, but...
the announcers.
Yeah, not even just the announcers, but just the things that they, like, show us. It's like, okay, now we're showing figure skating, now we're showing...
okay.
Other generic event.
It's really hard right now because Pyeongchang is, was it 14 hours ahead?
Yeah.
So all of the primetime events going on there, like the men's hockey game... is showing at like 7 in the morning tomorrow.
I would love them to literally broadcast that at live, but the problem is no one would watch it.
Right. So they have to pre-record things. And
the masses wouldn't watch it. There are a lot of people that are probably my age that would be okay with watching that stuff live.
Dude, so, you know how fun that would be to get up with all your friends at like 7 in the morning, freaking watch a hockey
every
game?
Every morning. Recently, our family got rid of DirecTV and all that garbage, and we got YouTube TV.
Hey.
YouTube TV is like a video streaming. It's not Netflix, but it's live TV Netflix is what I'm going to call it.
Live TV Netflix.
So just like, it's honestly just like having, you know, TV service on your computer. You can have it on your computer, you can watch on your phone, and then you can like cast it to your TV if you have Chromecast, which we got 3 Chromecasts, so we can do that. And I've actually seen a lot, like they've put a lot into advertising for YouTube TV. Like, I don't know if you've noticed it, but
yeah, I've noticed it.
I've seen it on banners in the NBA. I saw it behind the home plate in the World Series, I remember, this last World Series.
I wonder how much that costs.
I don't know, but I didn't see anything during the Super Bowl, so...
maybe they're doing all right. They don't need any more advertisement.
They're doing all right. I remember seeing them like initially like a couple months, 6 months ago when they first announced it, and it was only like 8 cities. And I saw this. I was like, oh my gosh, $35 a month, and you can watch everything with like all the good channels, all the sports.
That includes like YouTube Red and stuff, right?
Yeah, so I was going to get into that too, but it's like, oh my gosh, only $35 a month, and you can watch all this, 6 devices, and you have unlimited cloud DVR.
That's stupid.
That's incredible. So you can record as many shows as you want, and you keep them for 9 months, which is plenty of freaking time to watch whatever you need to watch.
Yeah, if you're not watching shows
in 9 months, then
you don't need to watch them.
You probably shouldn't have a baby. Dude, I don't know. That was just kind
what?
Of, it was kind of a
another
stupid
t-shirt.
Joke.
Another t-shirt. There you go.
You should probably not have a baby. So yeah, it also includes YouTube Red, which... that's it's, YouTube Netflix.
It's YouTube's
attempt at original content
with YouTube creators.
Yeah, so the thing that makes it different from Netflix and Hulu is that they don't have any like third party content. It's all original YouTube content, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
So you know what would be
They're not
really cool.
I don't know if they're really competing with Netflix and Hulu.
Really?
I don't know. I don't know if that's technically in that's the same main, basket, is it?
It's their main competitor, I feel like.
I feel like they're providing an additional higher quality content service that adds on to YouTube, and it's not trying to take away your Netflix or compete with Netflix, basically.
I guess. I don't know.
I mean, Netflix in itself, I think, is a whole different... I think it's out of... You know, I think it's in its own league.
It's a different monster.
I think it's in its own league than any other sort of streaming service. So,
yeah, yeah. They say they want to move to 100%, or not, I don't know about 100%, but majority
they definitely
Netflix
are.
Curated...
Curated
Netflix original, content. Original content.
Netflix original.
Yeah.
They definitely are. I've noticed that a lot, and I think a lot of people have noticed how like they're losing a lot of their shows and stuff.
Yeah.
So I guess if they start losing shows and movies and stuff like that, then
the thing is though, like I go out of my way to look for the shows and the movies that are made by Netflix.
I think a lot of people like Netflix original stuff.
I think they're great. Have you heard of Carbon Original or something
no.
like that? It's the new... It's I'm watching it right now and it's phenomenal.
A lot of people... Yeah, I feel like all the... Like, whoever is in charge of Netflix Original, like, there's got to be some guy that is, like, in charge of saying yes, saying no.
Right.
Like, has their mind in the right place for right. the for the audience, honestly.
Right. Like, they're taking over Marvel stuff. Like, it's
yeah.
great.
I don't know, like... how much of that content is like appealing to people older than us, but I feel like if we are the target, then
they're nailing it.
They're freaking right. smacking it. But so the different sorts of video streaming, I was going to get into this, like the different categories of different services that I can think of. So I mean, I was thinking about this. There's so many. So I can think of, okay, so there's Netflix. In the same basket, you've got Hulu. So this basket is kind of, you know, they have original content, they have shows, they host shows and movies. So what other
Amazon Prime?
Amazon Prime Video. That was the third one. That I think that's it.
Those are the major.
Does
three.
HBO count?
That you can.
Do
count,
they?
No, that
no.
doesn't really count because I mean you can
okay.
get that on Amazon Prime.
You oh yeah,
buy
you're
that
right.
As
you're
a
right.
Channel.
I think HBO also kind of.
I don't
no.
think that's the same.
No,
basket
I'm gonna say
at all.
HBO is in the same basket, kind of as YouTube Red.
Okay, yeah, that makes
I think
sense.
That's a more fair comparison for that. And then you've got YouTube TV. Ooh, what's that like commercial guy? What is it?
We're
starts
about to
with
get
an
it
S.
At my house. Slither?
No, Slither.io.
Shoot, what is it, dude?
Sling. Sling TV yes. is the same as YouTube, and then there's another one.
I don't have no idea what the other one is.
And then you've got all these services. All well, I think this is more in the hardware line. You've got
like
Amazon.
Roku.
Yeah, Roku. I was thinking Roku. You've got Roku. You've got Chromecast,
which isn't really.
And you've got Amazon Fire TV.
Yeah, I don't. I think Chromecast is just purely casting.
Mm-hmm.
But that's. No, yeah,
is,
they don't
that,
have any. That's all it is. It's purely casting.
Is that any different than Amazon Fire TV or
yeah,
Roku?
Yeah, because Amazon Fire, you can stream like it comes with Netflix, and
it does.
Yeah, on the stick, especially Amazon, like on when you get the Amazon Fire Stick or whatever.
What do you mean? So it comes with a subscription or the app just installed?
So the app is installed, and
okay.
with Google Chrome, there's nothing
so
installed.
So Google
just a
Chromecast
cast.
Is let's
I
put that
call it Google Chrome.
Let's put Chromecast in its own. Little basket, and then we'll put Apple TV with Roku and Fire TV Stick.
Yeah,
or
yeah
Fire
yeah.
TV. So yeah, we've got this like visual, like you know, freaking chart that we've just made up.
And then I feel like it's coming to the point where satellite TV and cable are completely irrelevant.
Okay, so yeah. Also, another thing I forgot to throw in that basket is. So when we were making the switch from DirecTV to YouTube TV, this I don't know how boring this is to listen to.
I'm interested in talking
I'm
about
interested
it,
in
so
talking
I don't
about
care.
It, so
good luck.
So yeah, when we were switching to YouTube TV, DirecTV offers a service called DirecTV Now. That's
uh-huh.
a thing, which is basically the same as YouTube TV. You get and Sling. So Sling is like, okay, you pay $20 for the basic channels, and then you can upgrade your package to the $35 with more channels up to like $80, I think, a month.
But there are still commercials, correct?
On Sling? Yeah. So all those things have commercials, whereas the basket with Netflix,
Except for Hulu, depending on what tier.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hulu's really weird. I'm not a big fan of Hulu.
I don't know. I think Hulu's been improving since it started. It was almost completely irrelevant compared to Netflix, but I think it's gotten a lot more relevant. A lot of shows from Netflix have jumped to Hulu, like Lost, Bob's Burgers, things like that.
Bob's Burgers.
I don't know. I know Hulu now is pushing its original content a lot. There's like, I've been seeing commercials for like, it's called like Castle Rock or something that is the original content.
Mm-hmm.
It just amazes me, though. Like, every time I go on Netflix, it seems like there's a new original.
They come out with them so fast. Like, I don't understand how they do it, honestly. Like, their staff must be immense.
I don't know. But anyway, so, yeah, I was talking about the DirecTV Now. That and YouTube TV is literally the same thing as just watching your TV. So, yes, there's commercials. Even though if you with your low-tier Hulu, there is commercials, I don't think that's not in the same basket.
No.
But yeah, YouTube Red, that basket with HBO doesn't have commercials. Netflix doesn't have commercials, which I feel like, do you think Netflix could copy Hulu and have a lower priced package that includes commercials or no?
I don't think they're having any issue getting subscribers.
You don't think that's a problem?
No. So I don't think they would ever do that.
Netflix, I think, is $11 a month now for just streaming.
For like two devices. Screens, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the thing is, like we talked about last podcast, they were the first, like the first program, yeah. The first thing to do what they're doing.
First service. So I think.
So they're obviously the most popular because.
Yeah, they have the most adopters. And I think that their audience is larger than most other things.
Yeah.
And in a way, almost, I feel like people almost develop a loyalty to Netflix, I feel like.
Well, yeah, it's brand loyalty. They've done a really good job developing their brand. It's crazy how much, like, that does for a company, for a service, is just, like, the way they treat their customers and the way that they listen. Like, this is going to be the most geeky reference ever, but in old school RuneScape.
Oh, my gosh.
You heard me. They're really, really good about taking community feedback and implementing that community feedback into the game. And I think that's why the player base is so strong, is because, like, we feel like we're involved.
It's like player curated in
right,
a way.
Right,
know?
Right. So I feel like customer curated or just customer involvement.
Input and involvement.
Input,
yeah.
Is really, really important with companies today because mm-hmm. people want to feel like they're
part of it.
Right. They're doing something, like they're part of something bigger.
And I think that's a way for a lot of companies to have good business, is to, you know, truly take people's input and things like, we'll see if that happens or not with the Snapchat thing.
Right.
Because it appears to me, you know, idle disagreement, but I feel like a majority people don't like it for whatever reason, and I don't know if that's just because people don't like change or if it's just truly terrible.
Right,
but
right.
We'll see if they actually do take user input into account. But like you were talking about with RuneScape, their way of interaction is through polls. So they literally poll the community to see what features and additions they want in the game. It's a video game, and if you don't know that.
So there's a ton of people that play it, and every Thursday there are updates,
mm-hmm.
whether they be big or small. And literally every single update that they think about doing, they poll it first
mm-hmm.
to the community to make sure it's what the community wants.
So, I mean, I think for a lot of companies that can be a hard pill to swallow. It slows down, you know, just additions and things like that. It's an extra layer of
complexity.
Yeah, complexity of like agreement or that sort of input, but I think it's really immensely powerful and it's useful, and in the long run, I think it's a good thing for companies to do.
I think that's been a major switch in the past few years. It
mm-hmm.
used to just be like, the company is completely separate, they're
yeah.
going to do exactly what they want, and people are going to be like,
suck it up, or
just leave.
Yeah, and I definitely agree with that, and I feel like a lot more companies really need to take that input seriously, and it's really easy for a game like RuneScape to, on like, they have such an easy way of doing that.
Right.
Just polling and asking, like, can you do this? Can you do this?
Right.
And just adding
it's
to
so
a game.
So simple.
But with all these other companies, like, it's so much harder. Like, you can't poll your community. You can't say, like, oh, do you want a price increase? Oh, do you want, you know,
right.
less? Do you not want, do you want this show still on here?
Right. Or,
because with those sorts of things, it's like, there is feedback. There are, like, polls that people can answer. And it's like, this data is so much harder to capture.
Capture, yeah.
It's like, you don't really know, like, if they ask you, like, how many hours of Netflix are you going to watch this week? Like, you don't really know. And it's like, I don't know. I don't think it's as black and white as, like, a video game
right. In
putting into that.
But it's just, I just use that as an example.
Yeah.
Just to be like, it'd be really cool if Netflix just, like, every month they listed all of their shows that had potential to go up. Because I think they update every month or something.
At least.
All the shows, movies that were potentially going up. And it's like, all right, like, out of these shows, or, like, say they do it with their Netflix content. Like, their whatever, whatchamacallit?
Original content,
jeez. Say they just, like, out of these plots, like, which seems the most interesting?
Mm-hmm.
And then they, like, after the poll, they announced I don't even know if companies know about straw poll.
Straw poll.
You know how cool it would be if Netflix just put out a straw poll?
Yeah, I don't know if that's super secure in, like, the best way.
What do you mean?
I don't know. But anyway, I don't know. It's just so much harder with those sorts of companies and those sorts of products, because it's like, for a lot of things, it's like, oh, do you want us to keep this show? Do you want us to get this? Or do you want this movie? And it's like, sometimes it's like those business decisions are already made. They have to be made quickly, or it's hard for a community to have a say for those sorts of things.
Right.
Because, you know, their contracts, and it's like, someone can't go back on their contract. They
right.
can't be like, oh, never mind, they didn't want this, or blah, 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 or they don't care about this.
Maybe they
plot.
Should do a pre-contract then.
I don't know. It's just, they need, I definitely agree that a lot more companies need some sort of community consumer audience input. And that, I think that would help out a lot. An example that I can...
Before you talk, I don't think it's a lack of consumer input. I think it's a lack of listening on the business end.
Yeah, I just think it's hard for a lot of businesses to... you know, take their consumer input into hand when
right.
it's like the consumer doesn't know, like, the business and
right.
the decisions and the consequences, the benefits. So
right.
it's like a company is probably going to operate just based on its best interest of business decisions and whatever is best for the company.
Right.
And but sometimes there are cases where, you know, what is best for a company may rely on the user base a lot. And if you had this information previously, maybe you would have acted upon that, and that might have had a better outcome.
Right.
So, yeah, I definitely agree in that way.
It's very interesting. I don't even know how we got on this topic.
I don't know either. But so the example that I was going to bring up is, so Nintendo released a new console in March. Jansen's going to roll his eyes at me. But
freaking Switch.
If you didn't know that, last 2017, March 2017. And in the past, Nintendo versus Sony and Microsoft, the, like, console trifecta in a way, it kind of, like, Nintendo...
It's getting late.
Nintendo kind of hasn't really been a competitor to those two. Those two have kind of always been in their own corner, beating each other up.
Uh-huh.
And Netflix has been... Oh, my gosh.
There he goes again.
Dude,
Nintendo.
I want to get, like, the Nintendo logo, like that, like, oval,
uh-huh.
and then write Netflix in it for the shirt, and then we just violate two copyright logos. Anyway, trademark logos. Gosh, now I just lost my train of thought. But
talking about Nintendo.
Yeah, I know that.
Sony, Microsoft.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah, Nintendo's just been in their own corner, in their own freaking house, in their own freaking universe, innovating and doing new things, but they've... in a way always been behind in some aspects, where Sony and Microsoft have been up, like, competing with each other fine. So one of these ways is, like, an online connectivity sort of standpoint. Back in, like, 2005, 2006, I think Xbox Live was released, this whole online integrative connective platform for online gaming between Xbox users.
I think everybody knows what everyone Xbox Live
is. I hope everyone knows what Xbox Live is. And then, you know, PlayStation Network, which was kind of crappy.
A mess.
And eventually, I think it's okay now.
You have to pay for it now, don't you?
Yeah, you have to pay for it now. But Nintendo, on the other hand, has never really had something like that. And they've never had a paid online service, whereas those two now at least are paid. So they are lacking a lot in experience there. So the Switch launched without really an online sort of service/platform, and a lot of people are and were upset about that. And it's interesting. So
They have it now, right? Like,
no.
No, is it coming though?
So it's coming in September of 2018. You can still play online with people, but the whole, like, basically the way it is now is you can add friends by a outdated form called a friend code, which is a string of random numbers and letters. That's your username, essentially. So imagine adding your friend by N7W4890 and you can't message them. You can't have a voice party with them, whereas Xbox was fine with that in 2005. They figured that one out. You can't invite them to your game. You can't contact or communicate with your friends on at all.
You can just see if they're online.
And so Nintendo released this mobile app called the Nintendo Switch Online app on your iPhone, Android device, where you can create a voice chat in a specific online game called Splatoon. I'm not going to get into that, but a multiplayer game called Splatoon. And you have to talk through your phone and listen to the audio through your Switch. So it's essentially two devices, whereas the Xbox 2005 did these two processes in the same hardware, same device, at the same time. So you basically have to have literally a aux cable from your phone to a like Switch, not the Nintendo Switch, to a mixer/splitter. Then you have to have a cable from your Switch to that splitter, and then the one wire into your headset, into your ear, to have voice chat and listen to the game audio.
Long story short,
everyone hates that, and Nintendo really hasn't budged, or I don't even know if they've listened, but hopefully people think that it's going to be better in September.
I feel like it's something that you just can't rush.
But people are really just kind of mad about the Switch launching without that sort of online capability immediately, which is kind of just like the standard for consoles, for gaming.
For games in general.
In 2018 or 2017. It's just something that we accept now, that sort of level of connectivity. And it really made me feel like I was playing on like my Nintendo DS back in God knows when, 2008, 2009.
Or like when you're playing Pokemon and you put the freaking fight cable together. Mm-hmm. What's that thing called?
You literally connect it with a wire.
And you trade Pokemon mm-hmm. and you fight. It's the best thing ever.
So yeah, people speculate that like Nintendo's been like hesitant on this whole online thing because there's this whole trope, or people don't even know if this was a real thing, but it's called the PictoChat pedophiles, which if you had a DS, you knew what PictoChat was. It was like a online chat room where
it's really weird.
Yeah, it was an online chat room, but it was local, so it wasn't like over the internet. It was like within a certain radius of your like the signal broadcasted by your DS, so you could only chat with local people. And there's like this, I mean, you can kind of understand where I'm going. I don't really know the details, but I mean, a large percentage of Nintendo's audience are kids, presumably, even though the Switch marketing has,
I feel like for the DS is
for the
mostly
DS
kids,
for
mostly
yeah
kids.
Definitely the DS, 3DS even, but even though the Switch marketing has been appealing to a more teenage/20-year-old/even older than that crowd in at least their ads, you mainly see you know, 16 and up people playing in their ads. And that's why people think that their online has been a slow and a reluctant sort of transition. And it really makes no sense. So people are frustrated that even though they're marketing towards older people, they still have this reluctancy to develop a online communicative sort of system that is up to par in 2018 like it should
be.
So, yeah, that was kind of a rant a little bit, but...
It needed to be said.
It needed to be said. and the bottom line is we think that consumer feedback, audience feedback is a gold mine for companies, and I think a lot... We think a lot more companies should probably tap into that if they can,
right,
in however way they can.
Right. It's just the way that you know for sure, like, customers are going to get what they want.
Mm-hmm.
Like, from a t-shirt perspective, if I were to put out 5 designs at the beginning of the month, like, hey, like, these t-shirt designs are up for, or like, are... The potential t-shirts, t-shirt designs for next month. Like, which ones do you like the most?
I mean, that just makes sense from a business perspective. It's like, okay, which one would you purchase?
You're literally just like
polling people.
Pre-orders.
Pre-orders basically. So even if it's something as simple as that, that makes sense. But I just think that a lot of businesses have a lot more complex things to take into account and sort of. Aspects that really are hard to gauge and hard to receive feedback on. So I think that's why there's been this like lack of that sort of feedback. But hopefully people can, or companies and people can figure that out.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was episode 3.
I don't know where that was.
We had no idea where that was going. To be
honest.
Don't
really know where it started.
But... It's 37 minutes, and I'm kind of tired.
I don't think I'm going to say the outro.
Thanks for listening, guys. See you next time.
See you next time. Thanks for listening.